people buy from people, and I think you can leverage that more when it's in terms of generating a lead than you can in sales.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by Alex Curtis from Lead Engine. This is an awesome episode. I'm going to let Alex introduce himself, so let's dive straight in. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am joined by fellow Brit and agency owner, Alex Curtis. Good morning, Alex. How are you doing?
Good morning, mate. Yeah, I'm really good, thanks, and thanks for having me on.
No, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Thank you for giving up your time so freely to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
It's all right.
Do you want to start by giving yourself a bit of an intro? It saves me murdering you, to be honest.
Brilliant. My name's Alex. I've got a lead generation agency. We specialise in financial services. I started... back in the day, getting into designing websites, got fed up with developers who wouldn't actually make it look like that on the web. So taught myself code, and then got annoyed with clients who wanted rubbish websites. So instead of people telling me what to do, I sort of pivoted into that sort of marketing side, where I was sort of consulting and helping people develop websites that would generate business. And then we've just kind of niched down into... got away from doing any e-coms, niched down into lead gen, and now we've niched down even further into just financial services.
See, it's an interesting path that you're taking there. I've come from a development background, so I was, I'm not going to say I was the developer that made websites not look like your picture, but I came from the development side of things, and I think I noticed on your website when I was looking around it earlier, you know, it literally says you were fed up of making websites that weren't going to convert. What were some of the frustrations there? Was it because of the positioning of the website? Was it because of the user experience? What were some of those things that you were sort of battling with, I suppose, in your head at the time?
Yeah, no, I think it's just people see something shiny. I think I remember like someone wanted, it was like for a lighting website, and they wanted these things in bubbles. It just sounded bonkers. And I was like, and it was never, they never thought why. I guess it was, they wanted something, but they never thought about why and what the outcome would actually be.
Okay.
So that was, yeah.
Sorry, if you just heard a beep in the background, that was just our coffee machine.
Oh, I thought it was like, get rid of this guy, he's rubbish already. Is that the rubbish guest alarm?
You know, I was going to edit that out, but now you've said that, I'm going to leave it in.
Oh, no, definitely. We should definitely leave that in.
So, okay, cool. Yeah, some of those abstract things are a bit weird. We often have discussions with clients in our agency when they come and say, look, I want my website to do the washing up. And we're like, yeah, but how's that actually going to get you any more customers? What's that actually mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Taking customers through that journey. So it's also interesting that you then pivoted into sort of generic agency, and then the first thing you then mentioned was getting rid of e-com. So was there a reason why you took that decision as well?
Absolutely despise Magento. I would rather throw up on it than use it. I guess what I like about doing what I do is working with people who are passionate about their service or product. And when you get a retailer who's got 1,000 products, they're not passionate about the umbrella that they sell that's in the umbrella section amongst 1,000 other umbrellas, if you get what I mean. So you can't spend that time working on that specific product. Whereas if it's like a B2B product where you need to get a quote for it, normally it's part of a small range and they're really passionate about that product. And then you can go to town on really putting an in-depth strategy together for that product, if that makes sense, rather than just throwing mud at a wall. Yeah. And seeing what, not, you know, no offense to any e-commerce people who are, it's just not for me. I mean, I'm a results guy. I get, you know, I do it for the results, and e-commerce gives you that directly. But I think you can get that with lead gen, and then just spend more time on on one service or one product or small range than just having to spend the same amount of time on thousands of products.
I suppose when you do get clients that are offering small ranges, or you're working with, I don't know, consultants or service-based businesses, even then those products are normally linked over a theme or a niche. Or mm-hmm. I mean, you've obviously now niched down into financial services, so you know financial advisors will offer pensions, mortgages, life insurances, all those kind of, but you know, they all fall under an umbrella kind of theme that you can put a strategy in place for, but then have kind of these streams, I suppose, within that strategy for the particular services. Am I right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, the reason that we connected over Chris Ducker and the conference was about that people buy from people. And I think you can leverage that more when it's in terms of generating a lead than you can in sales. I suppose they do that a lot in kind of influencer stuff. And when I'm working with like someone that owns the business, or we're working with advisors that are going to actually provide the service, leveraging that people-to-people kind of thing is what I really enjoy as well. And that fits more naturally, I think, when it's a service or mm-hmm. when you're getting a quote. Because if it's getting a quote, you need to speak to someone and you can sell that person that you're going to speak to rather than the products or service, if that kind of makes sense.
Okay, yeah, that does make perfect sense. So let's just sort of strip this back then to sort of brass tacks, if you like. So I am a marketer, or I am, you know, somebody that's managing a website for a client, or it's my business, it's my website. Lead gen is obviously a lot more than just putting a contact form on a page. I'm pleased I got that nervous laugh just there. So where do I start? What's the first kind of things that I need to consider, maybe before sort of approaching somebody like yourself, where I need to get an agency involved in this? What are some of the simple things that I could do or consider it myself?
Yeah, well, I think before you get an agency is try and you need to know that you can sell it in a particular way first and get the agency to amplify that. Then personally, I think get an agency to find out how you can sell the first one.
Yeah.
Because agencies are great, but they're not gonna nail it in the first month if you haven't worked it out yourself. And then you're gonna have all the problems with when the leads come through, how you're managing it. So it's definitely try and get the basics right and get some kind of interest online with some ads, because all the technical stuff a lot of our lead gen is driven by ads, and you can obviously, they can have an impact tomorrow if you set your campaign up today. So just getting all the technical stuff is easy, in my opinion. There are some tips and tricks. I suppose it's getting that, when we talked about the website, getting that right, the messaging right. We do a live show called Talking Ads, because the ad and the messaging is probably the most important thing, both in the ad and on the website. So getting the messaging right, thinking about who the customer is, and if it is something where they're going to speak to you and get a quote, sell yourself. That's one of the biggest things that made a biggest difference in my business. But yeah, just trying to... It's different, because there's so many different situations, aren't there? Some people are afraid of the tech. Don't be scared about about using the platforms. You don't have to spend a load of money. You know, you can spend, like with Facebook ads, you can spend £1 a day if you wanted to. Mm. You don't have to waste a load of money, but I guess you want to have a bit of an idea of how to sell and get an agency in to amplify and grow that when you haven't got the time to manage those ads, would be my advice.
Okay, great. So when you're, obviously it's ad driven. So you've mentioned Facebook. Do you use any of the other platforms, you know, Google Ads, LinkedIn, that kind of thing? Or do you do that more industry specific or client specific? Or is it to do with, you know, you're in financial services and you found that Facebook works well for them?
Yeah, so it will use everything, just depending on what's going to work. So originally, I was doing, I guess if you wind back sort of five years, probably 90% Google Ads and SEO. And now it's probably more on the social side. But we do everything, whatever's going to generate leads, and depending on if it's B2B, B2C, whether it's whatever the financial service product is. So we've got like a wealth management company who want ultra high net worth, so they need to have £1 million in the bank. We've also got people that do bad credit mortgages at the other end right, of the scale.
Okay, yeah, so that's a broad range there.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. So a lot of the time, it's with remarketing, like all the platforms, because if they're not on it, then it's not going to show, you're not going to get billed. So we pretty much have a remarketing strategy on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the platforms, no matter what the client is. Because if they've been on the website and they've spent time on the website, they're interested in what you do. So wherever they go on next, it's worth having a remarketing, you know, ad. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it just depends on... So, yeah, Facebook, a lot of the minute, because almost every financial service product is like an interest on Facebook that you can target and get cold traffic for.
Yep.
And then LinkedIn for B2B, you can target anyone in any location, in any job title, in any industry of any company size. So it is great for B2B stuff.
Cool. Now, so there's two things I want to put to sort of talk about off the back of that. So the first thing is LinkedIn. Do you find LinkedIn is more expensive than Facebook ads?
No.
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 Ooh, you're the first person I've spoken to that's given me that answer.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So I'll drop, as Chris Ducker would say, a cheeky little value bomb on you.
Come on, bomb me.
So with most of these platforms, don't do what they suggest. So they suggest that you do, if you want to generate leads, either use the lead gen form or do a cost per click bidding. Yep. And if you choose to do a cost per click, I think they say around sort of a fiver, something like that,
yep,
which is expensive, you know, incredibly expensive. I wouldn't want to be paying that for a social media click to someone who I know they're the right person. I don't know if they're the right time.
Yeah.
So the, LinkedIn has like an awareness campaign that you can do. So you bid for getting in front of 1,000 people. So you bid per 1,000 impressions.
Yep.
CPM. And yeah, and basically have some really good ads. So you get more clicks in that 1,000. Annoyingly, so I've got, we got a copywriter who's been with me since I set up the limited company in 2017. And then she writes really good ads. Like, she's just got the knack for it. I don't know what it is. And then, but I've been teaching her the technical stuff. And then she has broke she's got like the world record 35p a click on LinkedIn for, I think it was a critical illness campaign I can't remember whether it was for like plumbers or it was some sort of contractor. But yeah, she got 35p, which was annoying. But we average, I guess, around 70 to £1.50. If we're getting more than £2 a click, we deem that as expensive for LinkedIn.
That's very good going. I must admit that is very good going. So we have some guys that work in our agency and do PPC, offer a PPC service, and mm-hmm. I couldn't give you the numbers, but I know that their kind of take on it is that LinkedIn, I'm not saying LinkedIn's mega expensive, like, mm-hmm. you know, 15, 20 quid a click or anything, you know, some of the ridiculous prices you can pay on Google Ads for particular keywords. I'm not saying we're there,
no.
But their sort of general feel is that Facebook is cheaper / easier to optimize for than LinkedIn. So that it's just a point of interest that I wanted to.
Everyone says that, but it was just one of those. It's because they call it an awareness campaign, but there's no different. It's still getting in front of the same people. it's so LinkedIn. It will probably change because it is not as good or as developed as Facebook ads. Facebook ads is, you know, probably the best, most targeted ad platform out there. It's incredible.
By far. I would agree with that.
LinkedIn's a bit archaic, but you can play the algorithm, I guess, with that. But
So if we ever run retargeting on this episode, then what we're going to make sure we need to do is exclude anybody that works at LinkedIn.
Because they
may find, oh, this guy's found a flaw in our algorithm. Right, let's patch that hole up quite quick.
Well, it's funny. They did the LinkedIn Marketing Awards recently, and we didn't apply. I think we wanted to, and then half of my head was thinking, well, if I show them I'm getting clicks for like 30p, they might sort of ring me up and say, what's going on?
You never know. They might ring you up and say, do you want a job at LinkedIn advertising? We'll pay you a gazillion pounds a month.
That would be nice. But then I'd have a boss, and then I'd probably... I don't like being told what to do.
This is true. There's not enough money in the world to get away from that.
No, absolutely.
So the other thing you mentioned was retargeting. I know I've just mentioned it as well. Mm-hmm. So yep. do you just want to sort of, in layman's terms, just explain what retargeting is? Because I think everybody can understand the concept of an ad.
Yeah.
You know, be it on a keyword or a demographic, you know, somebody who's between 25 and 34 that lives in the UK that's interested in sports, they can kind of get that. But what is retargeting?
Yeah, okay. So it is essentially, if someone's been on your site before, and I think you can do it with like apps as well. We don't really do much with apps. So if someone's been on your site, you've got a bit of code from all the platforms you put on your site, and it will know and connect that to their profile and know that they've been on your site. And you can do it in Google Analytics for the Google Display Network. So, you know, when you see Google banners, so it's a bit of code, basically. It just registers that someone's been on your site, and then you can put little parameters in, like if they've been on this page, put them in this remarketing list. If they've been on this page for this amount of time, or if they've been on the website for this amount of time. So depending on the amount of traffic you have to your site and how many products and services you've got, you can make really specific remarketing campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
We do rinse a lot of companies on our show talking ads for doing rubbish remarketing. Because you should be excluding, like we have SEM Rush, and they remarket to us to take the free trial. It's like, dude, stick me, you know, your customers should be in an exclusion list. You know that I go on SEM Rush in the back end. There should just be, it takes 2 seconds to create an exclusion list of anyone that's been logged in to SEM Rush. Do not put them in this campaign. So it's not just as simple as everyone that's been on your site. You can do that if you want. But you can sort of, filter out the people you don't want to remarket to.
Now, for anybody that's worried about the sort of Big Brother type of things, remarketing doesn't allow you to say, Alex, you were on our page and you didn't convert. Come on, fill in this for a bit. They do have, well, most of them, it's some variant of calling it an audience, isn't it?
There's a minimum audience
size that you need to. So you need to have, I don't know, 100 cookies or whatever out there somewhere so that there's a bit of anonymity, but you can structure those audiences in such a way that you can be fairly certain what those people were doing at a time.
Absolutely, yes. You can't get in contact with them directly. You don't know who they are other than that it is a person that has been on your site. Yeah, 100%. And then you obviously need... The worst name for any software is called Ubender. spell not like that, but it's spelled IUBENDA, and it creates a privacy policy or a sort of a cookie thing. You add in all the systems that you use, and it just creates that cookie policy for you.
Right.
So it lets people know that you've got Google Analytics, you've got the Facebook Pixel. So we use that quite a lot. So it's very clear that you're using those, but it's not really. I could tell you some worse things that people would be more scared about with when you upload. You can with Facebook, you can upload your customer list on a spreadsheet and import that and create an audience out of that, and then create a lookalike of that. But funnily enough, is compliant with, because we work in financial services. Everything's got to go through compliance. Facebook decrypts that and encrypts that, so you're not telling Facebook anything they don't know, if that makes sense. So with all these things, like, sound a bit scary when you talk to a client about it. They're like, whoa, that sounds, we don't want to be another Cambridge Analytica situation. But it's all compliant. And then again, you don't know, when we said match their profile, you can't click on that audience and find out who they are.
Yeah. Now, sure. you've also just mentioned another thing there, which is lookalike audiences.
Mm.
So Now this is where, so my as far as I ever went into PPC was I did the Google Ads certification, and I have I have sort of looked around the Facebook side of things and the YouTube side of things, but I don't profess to be an expert in those. But the lookalike audience, that is where you have an audience, so that is either people that you've uploaded in Facebook's case, that's one way of doing it, or people that have already activated the cookies, they get added to the audience, and then Facebook then can sort of find threads or streams or similarities between those profiles and find other people on their platform that have those similar traits. That's right, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the more you have in there, it's incredible. I don't know exactly all the things that they look for, but we just know it is pretty darn good. Especially when you've got, we used to work with, I was contracting on site with a company, they were a car finance business, they had about 10,000 customers. We created a lookalike of that, and that campaign was our best performing campaign. I think with Google Ads, we were getting leads for like £25, which at the time was on target. And then with this lookalike, it was like £2 a lead. And then we're converting to sale a slightly bit better than the Google ones. So the quality was just as good as the Google traffic, but it was a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
It is fantastic, but you do need volume really for that. The minimum you can have is 100, but it's not really worth it unless you're getting into like the thousands really.
Yeah.
On that, but it's very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the questions I get asked a lot by clients is, why should I pay for traffic? You know, the SEO is there. Google does a very good job. It's quite, the point of Google is to, deliver high quality, valuable content. Why, should I focus on the content, or why should I pay for it? Paying for then traffic seems to be a bit sort of alien if I've got this free version over here. And despite it taking potentially a little bit longer, what is the reason why I should pay for traffic?
I'm really passionate about this question. I was like punching you in the face as you were speaking, just thinking, hey, how can I say this without coming across like a complete swear word? Insert your favourite.
I'm just being the messenger.
Yeah, I know. because you want to do business. I mean, right? We'll start with like this organic social media for a start. You post something out. If I'm spending the time to put a message out there that I, and I'm putting the time in to do that, why am I then just want to send it out and then just cross my fingers and hope the right person's going to see it rather than just a bunch of people that follow me? Why would I invest my time doing that? If I want to build my brand up, yeah, we do some social media for brand building. But if I want leads tomorrow, if I want to get a new client tomorrow, I'm not going to put something out on LinkedIn saying, whatever it is, or put something out on Twitter or Facebook. If I want a client tomorrow, if I want my phone to ring in the next 2 hours, I don't think that's going to happen from me putting something out on social media unless I've got a massive, 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 massive audience. So if you're a small business, medium-sized business, anyone that doesn't have a massive following, I don't see the point in that to generate business today.
Yep.
So, but that same message, if I want a client and my niche is in dentistry or something, I want a dentist, I can go on LinkedIn, I can pay £20 to get in front of 1,000 dentists who own a dentistry in London that have 10 to 20 employees. I think I'd rather pay that £20 than do anything at all.
Yeah.
Hopefully I didn't come across too arty there. And then with organic as well. What we use, if you do SEO without PPC, you could be, this keyword's got a load of traffic. It feels like it should be right, but I could test that tomorrow. I could spend £50-100 tomorrow to test whether anyone searching on that keyword will convert, rather than putting all the time in to do all the SEO work, waiting, oh, get a load of traffic. Oh, but we haven't got any leads. Could have found that out 3 months ago by spending like £100, depending on the cost of the keyword or whatever it is. So you don't have to keep doing paid. but you could just be much more efficient. And you're going to be paying for SEO anyway. You've got to pay for someone to write the content. You've got to pay for someone to check your link profile, that your site health. You know, the SEO isn't free. You're still paying for that. It's better value, I would say. But it's just, you're sort of half going blind, I think, unless you try it with paid first.
That's what, you know, you've hit on some of the advice that we give our clients when we're talking to them about it. So, before I set up So, I used to work at an e-commerce agency, which is kind of where the why did you get rid of e-commerce question came from. I was head of their digital marketing team. So what we did, we were kind of very embedded into the Google platform, which is where I got the Google certifications from. So, you know, that came with the shopping and all of that kind of stuff alongside it.
Yeah.
And we used to give exactly the same advice to our clients. So the thing was, when we were doing keyword research, we'd always look at the page statistics anyway, which you can get out of tools like SEMrush, or even if you want to go digging for it, out of the Google Ads Manager itself, if you really want to.
Yeah.
And then from there, we'd then say, right, well, but not before we'd do anything, but for particularly some of the keywords that we thought may be beneficial to the business, we'd say, right, well, we want to then run advertising, Google Ads advertising on those keywords. Because we can, it is switching on and off a tap. We can switch it on. We can switch it on tomorrow. We can get 10 days worth of data. We can then switch it off again. We can analyze what we've got.
Yeah.
Rather than having to, as you say, put all of the effort into SEO and then Google maybe not picking that up for five days, and then it having to be indexed, which might be another 3 days, and then you're going to have to build some links to it, and then you can do the SEO profile to see what's wrong with it so that you fix it, and all of a sudden it starts. At the end of the day, time is money. That's the point.
And if
you can spend 20 quid, 50 quid, 100 quid, whatever you can, you know, afford in the short term, the longer term goal seems a lot more profitable, but a lot more attainable at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's always the way I've approached it anyway. Mm-hmm. So you're making all the right noises in all the right places. So I guess I'm not a million miles from
where
you're
thinking. No, absolutely. And we do SEO campaigns for all our lead gen stuff, because we want to help our clients reduce the cost per lead, cost per acquisition. But that's part of, you know, the value really comes when that kicks in. But we need to learn. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to get any business on day one.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you, I'm just thinking that some of the audience that listens to this podcast are marketing consultants. And one of the queries I know that we get regularly, because people send me messages about this, is, you know, I'm a marketing consultant. I work with, I don't know, anything from half a dozen to 18 or 20 clients a month. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I struggle with is the repetition of showing that my worth to the clients that I'm serving. So obviously, I know your business is lead gen, but what's your sort of, if I'm a client of the lead engine, what does it sort of feel like? What's the regular kind of process that I go through with you?
What does it feel like? Well, I hope it's good.
I don't mean that in a sort of Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen flappy cuffs kind of, well, you feel like a tangerine.
Yeah. So what we want them to feel like is they have the confidence to be able to put another $5,000 in their marketing budget and know what they're going to get. Mm-hmm. That they've got the confidence to be able to recruit another advisor or two and know that they'll be able to get the business to have that. And I guess in terms of the sort of, I think I'm rubbish at communicating. So I've got.
That's a great thing to say 28 minutes into.
I know. Yeah. Well, communicating with my clients. I like doing stuff. I was going to say, I don't like talking about it, but I obviously enjoy doing these puzzles. I like, when it comes to work and a lead gen campaign, I like to get my hands dirty and do stuff. And then I suppose a lot of the time I was doing a load of work and not telling my clients about it. Mm-hmm. And they thought I wasn't doing anything until obviously the results started coming in, if that makes sense. So weekly communication, whether that be phone call reports, none of this kind of standardized reports where you click a button and just throw it out without seeing it. And then the important stuff, we just want to let them know how much they've spent, how many leads they've got. We want to get back from them which leads were good, which were bad, to see whether we can find patterns in there, whether it's because we track every lead that comes through. We know what ad it came from, what platform it came from, whether it was from SEO or whether it was from whatever it was. So we want to continue not just to get leads, because it might be that the £2 lead, and we can get loads of them in, but they're all rubbish. That is, you know, it's not the right time, or it's not the right person. But the £10 lead, they convert 1 in 3. So actually, yep, it's more beneficial to get the £10 leads on LinkedIn rather than the £2 ones on Facebook, or however that comes across.
In which case, it becomes quality rather than quantity.
Yeah, absolutely. So our one and only target is cost per acquisition. Well, I say one and only. So cost per acquisition and number of acquisitions. Yeah. So the two targets. So we've got, we need to get X amount of sales for X cost.
Yeah.
And we've got to hit that. And then if we're doing that, clients leave us we lead it. And you know when it's not going right, when the client's like, oh, can you try that? Or can you try that? A lot of them do that at the beginning. But then when you start getting them in, like, oh, actually, we've got a client who was an absolute, I really like them, but they were an absolute nightmare at the beginning because they were like diving into Google Ads and clicking on all the suggestions that Google said. And then he switched something to like target bids on cost per acquisition of like 500 quid. And I was like, your daily budget is 500 quid. You're only going to get one lead. And like, you want to get sales for less than 500 quid. What are you doing? Like, tearing my hair up. Because they'd been messed around like loads before. They had an agency who were just, I don't know. I mean, that agency were like saying social media is a waste of time in terms of the ads. And then we stick a LinkedIn campaign on for them and they got a couple of really good leads. So they had been messed around. So you can kind of understand that they still wanted to drive it. But yeah, we know we're doing well when they're just leaving us to it and we're having those chats and they're getting those results and they're telling us which ones are good, which ones are bad, if that makes sense. And, hopefully the emails are flying through. Most of our clients use a HubSpot CRM. So they're getting those leads through and they can see where they've come from and they get an idea of what's good, what's bad, what's working. And just trying to collaborate as much as possible, because I used to, when I was freelancing, I was doing like on-site consultancy. I used to go in and I had like two or three clients and I would spend time on-site with them. So it's been last sort of couple of years has been a transition from that to the agency side of stuff. But yeah, I hope that I sort of rambled. I hope that answered the question.
No, it did. It did. Yeah. Absolutely. It did. Absolutely. And one of the things that, you know, one of the things we find is, oh, so we have an onboarding process when we have different versions of this. So, you know, we are a digital agency and we offer digital marketing retainers as well. Mm-hmm. Some of those clients that take the retainer have bought a website from us, so they've already been through a project. They know how we work. They know some of the personnel.
Yeah.
They're used to some of the systems that we use, so they can go through a very, that there's kind of a higher level of trust there already by the time we start working them on a recurring basis. And then, of course, we get clients that come in straight onto the recurring basis. And we have a slightly different onboarding process that actually lasts kind of a good 6 weeks into their retainer with us. So we get at least a whole monthly cycle out the way before we kind of class them as a, as not a new client anymore, I suppose, as an established client. And that is because we've identified that those clients, particularly in the first month, until you've had your kickoff meeting and we normally meet in inverted commas with a client once a month and then have sort of maybe a phone call or two in between. Until you've done like a whole cycle of that, they seem to have more questions and they're not sure about this. And they want to double check that you're, you know, why you're doing X, Y, and Z over here. And and I understand that, you know, putting partial responsibility or complete responsibility for your marketing in somebody else's hands is a big deal. And, you know, as a business owner, I would be wanting to make sure that I damn well understood what the other bloke was doing as well. So I get it, but from the agency side, it doesn't always help.
I think you totally understand it, because you people are paying you to spend their money, and that's a big deal, and you can't take that responsibility lightly. But with them, you just got to say, look, I can't, you know, everything I do is in your best interest. I want to, you know, we've got that target of that cost per acquisition. I need to be able to do that to get that. And then I think if you explain stuff without the jargon, I think that's one of the reasons why we win 99% of our business is not using any of the jargon and just trying to explain it. And then the trust thing, when it comes back to the people to people thing, that people buy from people that they trust, right? Building that trust and using your whole sort of, before they come on board, you're building trust and rapport early, and you can use ads to do that. And it's like just getting that relationship. But once things start kicking into place and you're doing 10 times better than the agency before or better than their expectations, then you're sort of onto a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Fully agree with that. Look, mate, thank you so much for your time. I've got other stuff I could ask you, to be honest. We could chat for ages. But maybe what we should do is then package that up into another show and do another one in a few weeks' time.
I'm up for that.
Awesome. I was hoping you'd say that. So if people wanted to get hold of you, where's the best place that they can find you online?
Yeah, I don't know. Because banging on about just using ads and not being organically social, I think... what's funny actually is that I've been picking up Facebook more because of that Youpreneur group. I find myself on Facebook. But yeah, LinkedIn probably, if it's on a sort of, you want to chat anything business wise. So Alex Curtis on LinkedIn. I am on Instagram, and then we do that live broadcast weekly on Facebook. So our company page is The Lead Engine. And we do a thing called Talking Ads Live every Wednesday, which, Pete, I will be twisting your arm to book you in to come and join us one Wednesday that suits. Hey,
I'd love to. That'd be great.
So, yeah, we'll let everyone know when you're on. Hopefully you've got some time in January that we can book you in.
January's looking good. Yeah, I can do that.
Brilliant. So I'll send you a calendar for that. But, yeah, that's kind of a cool, if you're as passionate about advertising as me, or if you're not, if you hate ads... then also come and check that out, because it is really interesting. Anyone?
if you're not quite sure what an ad is, just come and check it out.
You know? Exactly. There's some. Well, the reason we do it, it was originally like a team meeting where I just wanted to get the guys' opinions on ads, because you're so close to it. And the amount of stuff we learn from guests and the team and just other people, how they react to ads, just guides a lot of the things that we do. So it's been really, really beneficial.
Fantastic. Well, look, I'll make sure that all of the links to those places, so LinkedIn, Instagram, your Facebook page, I'll make sure all of that stuff is on the show notes. I'm not 100% sure which episode you're going to be yet, so the link to the show notes will be in the intro and the outro.
Cool.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you, mate.
No, thanks. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
See you.
So there we have it. I told you Alex was an awesome guy. Thanks again for your time. And I'm pleased to say that we've got some plans to collaborate on some other pieces of content into 2019. So watch out for those. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/031. And we look forward to seeing you in the Marketing Development Group, which you can find at peteeverett.com/group. We'll see you in 2019.